Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, October 17th, and today we are having a Harvest Generosity Celebration here at St. Peter. So thank you for joining me today for Scripture and a Message, and I'm sorry that you're missing out on hayrides and bingo and apple treats that we're having here in the building. I will have a couple of announcements to share with you at the end of this video. But for now, again, thank you for joining me. I'm glad God has brought you here today. And let's begin with our scripture readings. The first reading is from the beginning of Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends the first lesson. Today's gospel, and if you are a confirmation student during a worship note, I'll give you a hint. Here's what you want to write down. Our gospel reading is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to start off my message today with a confession for you. I am terrible at writing thank you notes. In my office at home, I have a list of the gifts that I received from family and friends at my ordination and the thank you notes that I planned to send. And I don't know the exact etiquette for ordination thank you notes, but I imagine you are supposed to send them sometime within, say, the first 5 years after ordination. And I'm mostly safe admitting that to you because I didn't know any of you back then. But I did receive a really nice fish wall cross nail wall hanging from this congregation when I started here, and I'm pretty sure I didn't write a note for that either, so let me say now, thank you for that gift. It's hanging prominently in our house. Shortly after I started as pastor here at St. Peter, I heard someone give a talk about the importance of gratitude as a daily practice. So I bought a box of 100 thank you cards with the goal of starting each day that I was in the office by writing one, and sending 5 cards a week. And I'm proud to tell you that after 5 years, I used the last one from that box in July. And just in case my parents are watching online, hi, Mom, I should be clear that this failing is not their fault. It's not my mom or dad. I remember as a kid, every birthday and Christmas, having to sit down and write thank you notes the same day. And I was taught you were supposed to say what you were going to do with the gift so that people would know you really truly appreciate it. And I still struggle sometimes to write thank you notes that say more than, "Dear Grandma, thank you for the book. I am excited to read it. Thanks again, Daniel." Gratitude is not something that always comes naturally to me. I wish it did. But I think that's why I like this story of this grateful leopard so much. Not leopard, remember. Leopard is a big carnivorous cat. Leper is someone who has this disease called leprosy. In the Bible, it's a variety of skin conditions. And because the people in the story have leprosy, when you have leprosy, you're considered in that time unclean. You're excluded from society. In fact, you live outside the villages, and according to the law, you have to announce that you're unclean whenever other people are around. You have to literally go around saying, "Unclean, unclean." So these guys in this story are living on the edge of society in several senses. Luke says Jesus encounters them while going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, which is interesting because if you look at a map, you'll notice there isn't really a region between Samaria and Galilee. They border each other. These lepers are living, Luke tells us, in a sort of in-between space. They're not really included in either Galilee or Samaria. And that area is not a happy border area. I won't go into it now, but there's a long history between Samaria and Galilee and the rest of Israel. The Jewish Israelites do not like or trust the Samaritans, and vice versa. So these 10 lepers are living in an in-between place, rejected by everyone. We probably should not be surprised Jesus enters into that space. When they see Jesus pass by, they recognize who he is and they call out to him for mercy. "Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus follows the Jewish law and he sends them to the priests. All this is laid out in the book of Leviticus, I believe. The priests are responsible for certifying who is ritually clean. So Jesus sends them there, and on their way, they're healed. 9 of them keep going, but one of them comes back to praise Jesus. And I wonder if it's because, as a Samaritan, he's so used to being an outsider. Going with his friends to the priest doesn't really make sense. He's a Samaritan, so he's lost his community even in this. And Luke doesn't explicitly say, but we assume the other 9 are Jewish. And these 10 are only together because they're living in this in-between space and they're rejected by everyone else. This Samaritan, this foreigner, he has more to gain. He has more to lose. He's not only cleansed from his leprosy by Jesus, Jesus accepts him as an outsider. And that's good news for all of us who are outsiders. The healing and the wholeness Jesus brings are for both Jews and Gentiles like us. And this guy understands what Jesus has done for him. He gets it. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. He's overwhelmed with gratitude. This sort of gratitude is both what builds faith, and it's also the natural result of faith. In fact, I don't think you can have faith in God without gratitude. Faith comes from recognizing what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And when you truly understand Jesus' love for you, you can't help but be grateful. Martin Luther was once asked what the definition of true worship was, and he responded, "The 10th leper." This is why we gather as Christians. This is the example we're following when we worship. Now, I hope that you get something out of this message. I hope that when you do come to church, you get something out of worship. I hope there's something inspiring in the service. You go home with one of the hymns running through your head. But the primary purpose of this worship service, the primary purpose of every worship service, the reason that we give thanks to God, the reason we come before God as people and acknowledge who God is to acknowledge the truth that God is God and we are not. One of the things we ought to get out of worship is the regular reminder to be grateful. We hear what God has done throughout history, and we are grateful. We hear what God has done for others in our own community, and we are grateful. We recognize what God is doing in our own lives, and we are grateful. At the beginning of worship, when we gather together, we confess our sins, our shortcomings, our need for Jesus. And then we hear the promise of forgiveness so that we can be grateful for God's grace. We read from God's word to hear stories of God at work. Our prayers include asking God to be at work in various situations. At the same time, we give thanks for where we have noticed God working. When we come to the Lord's table for communion, we remind each other to give thanks. It's in a part of the liturgy called the Great Thanksgiving. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary to praise God, not just in church, but all the time. Say thank you to God. Praise God for who God is, for what God has done, and what God is doing. And all of this, of course, is practice for our eternal purpose of praising God. And it also shapes how we see the world today, here and now. Gratitude is the natural response to understanding what God has done. And it's also something that takes practice. Because gratitude requires that we notice the world around us, requires we notice God's activity, noticing the blessings God has given us. I wonder, do you think the other 9 who were healed, who did not come back, were ungrateful? Perhaps, but I doubt it. I suspect they were just as thankful, but they didn't do anything about it. And actually, I have some sympathy for them. Imagine how they felt when they next saw their Samaritan friend, and he comes back later and says, "So, guys, I went to see Jesus and thank him, and he was pretty disappointed that none of you guys came back." Probably a pretty awkward conversation, don't you think? Luke doesn't tell us exactly what motivated him to go back. All he says is one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He saw that he was healed. All 10 of them were healed of their leprosy, but only one of them, Luke says, saw that he was healed. And for him, it was more than just physical healing. Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." He receives the blessing of physical healing, but he also is made whole by naming the blessing he has received. He's the only one who truly grasps what Jesus has done for him. The other 9 didn't do anything wrong, but all they receive is the physical healing. They are not made well in the same way because they don't stop to fully see what's happening to them. The seeing is the key, and that's something that you and I can practice. We can practice seeing the world around us through a lens of gratitude. One of my friends in college would regularly pause in the middle of a conversation right there on the sidewalk to say, "Stop, appreciate." That's what we're trying to do here in worship this weekend at St. Peter. We're here gathering today with this Harvest Generosity Festival to give thanks for each other rather than taking your generosity for granted. And that applies to you as well, whether you're watching or listening at home or in the car, wherever you are. Paul begins his letter to the church in Colossae by writing, "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints." So the stewardship committee and the church council and I wanted to take some time this weekend to say thank you. Thank you to the rest of our congregation, to all of you, for your faithfulness and generosity and giving, especially over this past year and a half. During the pandemic, just since this last April, our congregation of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, has given away nearly $70,000 to ministries outside of ourselves. Everything from disaster response to supporting refugees and missionaries to Bremwood over in Waverly and our Synod's ministries to supporting the basketball court project and the food bank right here in town. And nearly $70,000 in 18 months is worth celebrating. And we'll have a lot more to celebrate next year with the 150th anniversary of this congregation coming up. But this isn't just about me or a few people thanking everybody else for doing the work. This is about all of us thanking each other, and most importantly, thanking God. So, thank you. Thank you for your offerings, your prayers, your time spent volunteering and loving your neighbors. Thank you for watching this part of worship today. It takes effort, intentionality, to stop taking the world for granted and instead see through a lens of gratitude. It's a lot easier to see the problems, to see the needs, to see what's lacking, don't you think? Looking for things to be grateful for is countercultural. It's not normal. But if you spend the effort to look, there are always blessings for which you can give thanks. It's the famous quote from Mr. Rogers about how to be grateful in tragedy, how to get through times of tragedy. He says, "Look for the helpers." We know that things are not always good. There are very real, serious problems around us in this broken world, and we need to care about those problems. We are called to work for justice and peace in the world. It's hard to keep a perspective of gratitude when tragedies happen, like a car crash in our community this week. But at the same time, there are always blessings around us. And it's not about finding the silver lining in tragedy or trying to claim it's somehow good when it's not. But it's about recognizing what God has done for us and how that can give us the strength to keep going through tragedies, through trials, through the hard times. Jesus' final instruction for the grateful leper is to get up and go on his way. Giving thanks leads back to action, to an active faith. But our action as Christians is always in response to God's action for us. Our love comes out of gratitude for God's love. First and foremost, we are grateful because we have been redeemed by God. Pastor David Lowes writes, "Giving voice to gratitude is a choice with consequences, for as we express our gratitude, we affect those around us, even shape the reality in which we live." He talks about a friend he has who always answers the question, "How are you?" with, "I am grateful." I like that. I invite you to join me in trying that this week. How are you? I'm grateful. And I assume it might startle some people if you do it, and that's okay. I also think the response to "bless you" after a sneeze should be, "You too. You can be blessed too." So maybe I just like giving unexpected responses. But perhaps it might give people a moment to pause and to notice what God is doing around them. And noticing leads to gratitude, which leads to faith. So I invite you to try it. How are you? I'm grateful. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Next Sunday, October 24th, we're going to have two visitors with us for in-person worship on Sunday, Michael Knipp and Pastor Kyle Barton from Lutheran Services in Iowa. We'll be here to share about the ministry that we support through them. That's where some of that money that was given away went to. And then for adult education after Sunday service, Pastor Kyle will be sharing about his particular ministry in LSI as the chaplain at their Bremwood Youth Residential Treatment Center in Waverly. If you would like to respond to God's gratitude in the particular way of giving an offering to support our work here at St. Peter, you can do so by going to www.stpetergreen.com/giving, or you can find our congregation on the Vanco Giving app, or of course you can always mail in or drop off your offering as well. And again, thank you for your generosity. Now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.